Welcome to We Mentor Mondays podcast with Nancy. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your peers on the entrepreneurial journey of self-discovery. Learn something new from our stories today. All right, welcome back to our We Mentor Mondays podcast with Nancy. I'm Nancy. I'm joined with Kim Albee.
Hi.
This is our third mentoring session. And she owns Janu Limited Liability Company, and she also has a WP Marketing Engine application that people can use. She's going to explain that in a lot more depth, but I'd like to open up our discussion right away with where did you leave off from our discussion last time?
Oh, well, I will tell you, this has been very, very fun. And who knew, you know, where things would go? I think I just live and do the things that come to me to do. And talking about it and reflecting on it, it's just like, wow, yeah, that these things do kind of ground me. And, oh, yeah, that really does come into what it is that has me, you know, look at life the way I look at life, you know, in my background there. And it's stuff that I haven't really thought about or brought to the surface for a while. So it's been fascinating. Just reflect on that and just listening to, you know, our conversations, you know, that we've had is like, wow, you know, who knew?
Yeah.
And I think that life is that kind of complex, yummy little hairball, if I can call it that,
right.
You know?
Yeah. Yes. Where a lot happens and
exactly.
A lot
it all
is
comes together.
The, yes,
and, you know,
right. It doesn't make sense. It looks like all separate things.
Yeah.
But when you really reflect on it and
it
talk
comes,
about it,
all
it
comes
starts,
together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A hairball.
Yeah. Giant hairball. Right. There's a book called The Giant Hairball that is actually quite good.
Oh.
It's a little book. I read a lot, but that one, that's why it had me think of it, is life really is this kind of hairball.
Yes. Very good. And we started our last session out with some fun downloadable facts. I would like to start kind of if you could describe more of Janu, because I think that you've got so much technology development that you've done over the years.
Mm-hmm.
So you started Janu in 2000?
Nope, 2008. Yeah, I started
okay.
Einsoft, my first company, in 2000.
Okay.
First technology company.
Okay. And what was that?
It was an online marketing technology company, but more for mid to large organizations, where Janu is for small to mid.
And why did you make the switch?
Oh, I set out with Einsoft in 2000, right in the .com crash. Right?
Oh, yeah.
A perfect time to
yeah.
start a business, don't you think?
And
I started it because I wanted to be able to enable technology for small business. My dad had a small business. I'd been around small business, and small business usually gets the short end of the stick most of the time with technology, because if you can't afford the really good stuff, well, then you got to piece together
yeah.
how you're going to make it work, right? And that's
yeah.
always been what I think is the short end of the stick, where the people who most need things to be easier because you have limited resources or the people least able to afford that kind of technology. So I've always had that focus. So in 2000, I started my first company called Einsoft.
And how do you spell that?
Einsoft. Mm. And so I started that company, and I couldn't figure out how to do it at a price point that would keep me in business to get
okay.
to the small business.
Oh,
so it was
I
mid
see.
To large, because I couldn't figure out at that time how to structure it, the solution and the pricing and the staff I needed to maintenance it and grow it at a price point that would work. So we went mid to large. And then in 2007...
How many were in the company with you at the time?
I think we got 4 to 5.
And did you
possibly 6.
Did you found it and
yeah.
get partners?
Nope, no partners.
Okay, just, yeah.
I founded it, and we did a project for VeriSign that gave us our initial funding to grow it.
Oh, nice.
They ended up with the technology, and I ended up with the technology to extend and resell.
Okay.
So it was a
nice
So I built
equal,
some things for them. Yeah.
Okay. And that, so you worked out an agreement with them to separate
the contract with. Mm-hmm. And so it ended up, ended up being a really great initial start. And then in 2007, I don't know, I was in the shower, I think, or something, but it finally clicked. I knew exactly what I needed to do to make it available to small business.
So after so you got that idea in 2007.
Yeah, like the end of 2007, it finally clicked for me. I went back to the office, talked to my developers, and I said, what about this? Can we do this? And they were like, yeah, I think we can do this. And I said, good, we start now. That was the new year, 2008. We formed Janu in February of 2008. And it was a departure from, and that, of course, what was 2007 and 2008?
Okay, just a minute. I'm a little confused with, because you had mentioned that you started IronSoft in 2008.
Janu was 2008.
Okay, got it.
So in the end of 2007, I finally realized how I could get there, right?
Yes.
So what was 2007 and 2008? I have nothing but timing here.
Right.
That was the housing crisis and the Great Recession that we just are now starting to come out of.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah,
and absolutely. All the subprimes and the economy went in the toilet and everything, right?
Yeah.
That was when I started Janu. So I started IronSoft in the dot-com crash, and I started Janu right then at the beginning of the Great Recession.
Well, you were confident that you knew what you were doing, and you had some money to take care of it, to start it up.
Yes and no.
Yes and
we
no.
We just did it by our bootstraps. It was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
So we just did it.
So did you take some people, your four employees with you from IronSoft?
Yeah, it was kind of a dual thing for a bit.
Okay.
And then IronSoft kind of was done. The market for what IronSoft had was coming to an end.
Okay.
In terms of mid to large and the pricing and all that. So making the shift was sort of at the right time.
Yeah. So that made a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then you added a few employees along the way?
Yeah. I mean, we've gone up and down in our employees. I think now we're at seven. We're going to be at nine soon. We have job openings right now that we're interviewing this week and next week.
And did you write a business plan?
No.
Or what was your business plan? I mean, you had the ideas, so you must have thought through a fair amount of things.
I had the idea. We knew we could build it, and I'm really good with technology and how our technology can be utilized. So I'm a geek. So that's something that I have a lot of sense for.
Yes,
and I knew we could build it. And so then the question became: okay, how do we get the right leads? How do we get people interested in this? We're going to take 6 months to get it together, and we're going to launch. So what do we need to do that? And so I started playing in social media. I had no business plan.
Well, you were putting together the pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't write your plan, probably because you felt like you were bootstrapping it and weren't going to get some funding. And you wanted to tweak it more? I mean,
no,
I didn't get
funding because every time I would go to ask for funding, I did with IronSoft originally. We went and talked to some VCs, and they just told me, you have technology, but you don't have a company. Okay, thank you. So we kept building it. And then you go talk to them again, and the VCs are all full of themselves and kind of cocky, and they know everything, and that's why they invest in companies that go under. And so most of them that did, those companies they invested in that I'm sure they thought were going to be great, well, I'm still standing.
Yeah.
And I was told over and over and over, you don't have a company.
You've got a track record.
It's like, okay, thank you. Thank you, no. I'm going to go and do my thing. So there's a certain amount of conviction. And I'm just driven to do what I do. And I do it because I love it. I do it because I'm committed to figuring out and solving a problem that I think is a real problem. And
you'll figure out the money stuff.
And the money has figured itself out. And it's not been easy. Entrepreneurship is not for wimps.
Right.
It's not for the faint-hearted. It's not for people who want security. If you want that, you should have a job.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, it's doubtful, right?
Yeah.
But I'm driven by a different sense of security than that. And
what is that?
It's what I need is going to be there. And it's not like willy-nilly, oh, it'll just be there. It's no, it's a very clear sense of, you know, if I need to go get a job, I'll go get a job. But so far I haven't needed to. Yeah. I've come close, but I haven't needed to. It's always something shows up. Something keeps me moving forward. Something,
yeah, so you get reinforcement that you're on the right track.
Yeah, and sometimes it's like, I have no idea. Should I go get a job? And then boom, something will happen and we'll land a big contract or we'll do this or something else will move forward. And it just, and I just keep moving and I keep looking at what does the market need? What do we need to be doing? What's going to answer that issue that I can see as present? What's going to, it's always figuring that puzzle out.
Yeah.
That's what I'm looking for is what's going to help our customers do a better job. I really care about our customers. I really care about small business having the tools they need. I really do care.
Absolutely.
I'm not just in it to make the money. No. I could make more money working for someone else right now, but eventually, and what things are growing, it's building that base. I'm more interested in building a business than looking for funding. And I know a lot of entrepreneurs that spend their time looking for funding rather than building their business.
Right, exactly.
And it's different. It's not, if you have a business, there's so many capabilities available today to just grow and run a business profitably. Mm-hmm. You don't need a huge amount of money to make a business really go.
You just need to be able to grow at the pace that works.
Yes. It's about cash flow and growth. And if you grow too fast, that could kill you, just like growing too slow could kill you. But if you don't manage your cash flow, you're dead.
And how much time do you spend in the money, the cash flow, thinking about it, handling it, planning?
I know exactly what our expenses are. I know exactly what I have in the bank. I know exactly what revenue will do to make a difference for things.
Okay.
And I always have that in my head.
Mm-hmm.
So as a business, I always do. I don't outsource that to anybody. I have a bookkeeper now that keeps everything up to date.
Yes.
But I always have my finger on the pulse of that. I sign all the checks.
Oprah Winfrey, when she was running her TV show, signed all the checks.
Absolutely.
Because she said she knows what's going on inside her business more than anybody else.
That's right.
Because she thought about it, planned it ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I'm not sure if she's writing all the checks now, but I can imagine that she's very involved with her cable network company.
Yeah. I mean, I love what I do, and it's part of it's the business side of it. And there's part of it that I don't like, but who cares? It all needs to be done.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I noticed looking at your website, the reason that I felt like I know this is a company here, but what I felt would add to that is if you added just a couple of fundamental things, like there's no mention of like who's the team.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I don't do that.
Is that deliberate?
Yep.
Why?
Because your competitors poach them.
Oh.
I don't, and besides which is that people change. That employees come, employees go.
Yeah.
Okay. What they need to know is that we deliver.
Yeah.
Every time, no matter who the employees are. We have a process.
Yeah.
Our company, we deliver. If you put, here's our whole team, then they know exactly everything there is to know about you. And I don't think those aren't the important things. So I care that a company has what I need. I care that they have the smarts to deliver.
Yes.
I don't need to know all their employees and what the background of every employee is. So no, we keep it off entirely on purpose, partly because some people think we're bigger than we are.
Mm-hmm.
Our competitors have $14 to $200 million of venture money. They have anywhere from 30 developers to several hundred developers. We are nowhere near that size, and we keep up functionality-wise. We keep up technology-wise. They have no idea how many developers I have. And if they knew, they would be stunned that we can do what we do with the numbers we have.
Yeah.
It's literally stunning. Hmm. So there's some things I don't want anybody to know.
Yeah.
There's reasons to keep things concealed. Now, pricing, we have right out there. Here's our pricing.
You do. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we don't conceal
and you have
that.
The products. But, of, mm-hmm. You know,
we talk about the value, and people can go look me up on LinkedIn and see the recommendations. We have other recommendations and testimonials and case studies.
Yeah.
People can look at for their experience. We get referrals from our customer base that's happy. So it's there are things that you don't need to tell everybody. You don't need to tell everybody everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
You need to put together what's valuable and know your customers and provide that.
Mm. Great. You've got a really good perspective on things. Mm-hmm. What kinds of groups are you a part of?
groups. Well,
or organizations?
I'm part of the WPO, Women's Presidents Organization. I'm in Chapter 3 in the Minneapolis area. They are an excellent organization for peer groups. So a bunch of other women entrepreneurs are in my group. I think there's 20 of us in the group I'm in. And the Minneapolis area has 5 or 6 WPO groups, which is, I think it's one of the largest cities Wow. for concentration of women business owners. And you have to have a certain company size to be a member. And I'm also a member of Allied Executives, which is another peer group. I'm the only woman in that peer group. That's all men. And I started out with that a while ago, the CEO roundtable. I was in one and I was the only woman. And I wanted to go to an all women's one because I thought women do have a different perspective. And it's true, we do. But there's value now that I've been in that group for almost 8 years or 9 years. Anyways, there's value in being in a mixed group also because there's value in the men's perspective, which I hadn't had for a while. So I joined Allied to give me that. Balanced kind of input and conversation.
And how do you spell that? Allied.
Allied. Allied Executives.
Okay.
It's run by a guy named John Palin. Palen.
Okay.
Excellent group. And they'll put together different size groups. So they have smaller company groups. They have larger company groups. So you get a really good peer group.
Yeah,
that's for nice. Where you are yeah. in your company, it's really quite nice, and they're very facilitated sessions.
And you re up every year.
Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what about WPO? How long have you been with them?
Since the beginning of the Chapter 3 started, and I think that was in 2007. Could have been 2008, but right in there.
And so you must budget for those groups.
Yeah.
Yeah. How much are they each?
Just
for our audience.
I think WPO is $1,800 a year.
Okay.
And Allied Executives, I believe, it depends on the size of your company, how much you pay, and it's per month.
Okay. And where else do you get support?
I get support at home. I get support from my family. I have a lot of really smart friends who have given me a tremendous amount of support that I've, yeah. So that's mostly it. And then I go and meet new people, like on the marketer's cruise, and I'm getting a lot of support from just relationships that I have formed.
Yeah.
Over the
like
years.
Sounds like you're good at nurturing those relationships despite yeah,
when
your
they're,
busy
Yeah, when
building.
You're interested in what they're doing and what you're doing, and you can do some things that help them and they can help you and builds a whole reciprocity that works really, really nicely. So yeah, I feel like I've kind of found my people in a certain way around, you know, people who are doing what we're up to and
yeah,
and it's fun.
Good. Excellent. Is there a reason on your website you also don't put your vision and your mission?
Yeah, that's bullshit.
Okay.
I think that's just so much crap. most people have a vision. Most people have a vision and a mission. It's just so much, it just sounds good. And they print it up and they put it on the wall. It just makes you want to vomit.
Okay.
Because most people who look at that work for a company, they're like, yeah, right. I mean, come on. So we went through Entrepreneurial Operating System, which is Traction. And we have a vision, a core focus. And we read it in front of at the beginning of all of our meetings because it's for your internal staff. It's not,
yeah.
You know, we are committed. And what we do every single day is make a difference for the small business owners who are our customers, helping them grow their business, helping them understand new strategies and tactics that will help them grow, helping them understand how to use tools to better target and better create content that really does answer the needs of their target audience, their perfect customer. Mm-hmm. How do they do that? And that we do that every single day. We do it in our customer support. We do it in the tools we build. And that's what's important. It's not what I put on a wall or put in a phrase that tells people this is our mission. And it sounds all really highfalutin, you know, this is what everyone should have. It to me, it's the politically correct thing that people do that doesn't mean a thing.
Yeah.
And that's the part to me is I have no patience for that crap. And so that's the, and where well, this it helps is, part is of, our business.
With my background in teaching entrepreneurship, it's part of the best practices.
Yeah. We have it. I just don't think, I think it's important to be guided by.
I think
by.
You keep it private. I, mm-hmm. you know, in reading your site, I mean, I can really feel the essence and the commitment. Mm-hmm. But it's like you don't know when you're looking at the site mm-hmm. who they hear Kim,
right?
But they don't know your, you know,
I know
your last name, and so there are pieces there, that I think might help those coming in, to give them a little bit information. But I get where you're coming from, and I understand you're in a very competitive field, and I think. Well, with the vision and the mission that I have worked with people on, I mean, it has authenticity.
Yeah, and I think they're important. Don't get me wrong. I think vision and mission and understanding that and being clear and consistent and authentic about that is important.
Yes.
But I'm more be it. Don't talk about it.
Yeah.
Be it.
Right.
And so much talk is just talk.
Right.
So I don't mean to be irreverent about it. But I worked in large corporations, and the next thing is let's get our vision and mission out there, and most of the employees could care less.
Right,
they know it's all just so much wordsmithing, and while it sounds all great and platitudes and all that, you could look at some vision and mission statements, you could look at, and you wouldn't know one from the next, from the next. From the next, given the buzzwords and everything else, you could take the branding off of a website, read the website, which most of them are brochures, and would you know what company it is? Nope, because it's all the same stuff that everyone, all their competitors say the same thing.
Yeah.
And so to me, it's much more important to be the values, not have values you aspire to, but what are you living right now?
Yes.
And that's what Traction helped us get our arms around. And it's a hard process you go through to winnow it down to three things, or no more than five, that are the things that really do guide you, but not that you aspire to be guided by, but that you're guided by right now in the way you live and be your company mm-hmm. today. And those things could shift a little bit over time, but they're going to be your values going
Absolutely.
Forward, really grounded. But I don't need to tell the world those values. What I need is for us to live those values, because what I want are the results of what those values give,
mm-hmm.
and our customers will know we're living those values because
they're experiencing it with you.
Correct. They will know, oh my God, these guys have awesome customer service.
Yeah.
These guys have, so they really do care. The way we word those values is of no interest. It's how do they experience my company on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
That's important.
Well, I like the way that you take it private
mm-hmm.
and that you develop, you've got the vision, the mission, the values there,
mm-hmm.
but it's very internal and people are doing it and working it mm-hmm. every day.
Right.
And you're saying it's not for the general public. It's for the people who you're working with, your customers, and they experience it with you because you are guided by doing the same thing, which is helping them market their businesses.
That's right. So it's the being of it, and people get that. If they're not, then
totally
we're not living true.
Yeah, right.
So if we're true to our values, we're going to be seeing it in our customer base reaction. So we can see it. It's correlate.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're off, it won't be there. And then we got to true up to whatever that is. So I
see.
I don't think I need to espouse stuff. I think we need to be it and live it.
And when you get out of sync with it, you get back into the being. because you know where you got out of sync.
Yeah, when you're out of sync or out of integrity with that, then you put it back in. You figure it out. You say, okay, let's live true to that. Where do we fall down? What can we improve?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this has been just three sessions, a very enriching conversation, very meaningful.
Oh, thank you. I hope it's valuable. It was certainly valuable for me. So. I mean, this was amazing. I had no idea how it was going to go or what we'd even talk about, but it's amazing. I'm still looking at this going, wow, that it is, you know, there's a lot to creating a business, running a business.
Yeah.
And who knew I had all that going on in the background that gives rise to what we've created. But
yeah. Well, the next session, we'll have you and Jennifer together.
Excellent.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
And that will be really fun,
yeah,
too.
I think I'm interested to see what Jennifer thinks about these sessions.
Yeah.
I think she'll be like, really?
Yeah. You can share it on the air.
Exactly. Exactly. I'll have her go listen to them.
Great.
Yeah.
All right. And you and I have some business to do after we're done with being on the air. So thanks, everybody, for tuning in this week. Thanks again, Mike. Your smile is something that I look forward to looking over and seeing and giving the thumbs up for a good session. All right. So we'll see you next Monday. Thanks, Kim.
Thank you.